Thank you, Lorna.
Could we keep that scripture close to us? But I would also like you to just turn to page 547 before we begin. Psalm 19, verse 14, sorry. And could we all say this as a prayer before we start? Verse 14 of Psalm 19. And instead of saying my mouth, could we just say our mouth? Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we're continuing in our series, Respectable Sins, and we're looking at gossiping, as alluded to earlier. I'd like to start by making an observation. We Brits love our pets. At least four in every household, from my research, owns a pet. And most of those pets, I believe, left to their own devices, or left to do what they want to, if they're left in their natural habitat, undomesticated, we would consider them to be wild, if not at least untamed. Now, as a teacher, I sometimes think of my students as being untamed creatures, often indisciplined and persistently selfish. I often have to remind myself that I, too, am a student. And to be honest, I will always be a student. I'll be a disciple who is still being disciplined by the greatest teacher of all, Jesus. Yet there is a creature, to be specific, an anatomical feature of all human beings that is untamable, wild and careless. Its instructions come from our need to satisfy self, and its ambition is to promote self. And if you haven't guessed by now from the reading, it is the tongue. No, it cannot be tamed by man, but it can be put under submission, under subjection by the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at that later. It is the perpetrator that is mainly responsible for disunity or unity. It is a vehicle for the deed of grumbling, which we heard about last week. It is a voice of or witness of godliness or godliness. And yes, even us Christians can be ungodly. Ungodly doesn't mean that we are evil or wicked people. A form of godliness can sometimes be observed as a show of good behavior, upstanding, doing good, following rules. This is what Timothy has to say about that. And we just look at 2 Timothy 3. He says here in verses 1 to 5, "But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, and slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And this is a bit, verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Have nothing, Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, to do with them. But the question is, but do we have an attitude that is pleasing to God? That is what godliness is all about. And as we continue to look at respectable sins, the quiet approval of ungodly behavior, that's what respectable sins are. We're now going to look more closely at gossiping. So let me start by asking this one question first. What is gossiping? What is our understanding of what it is? Well, it comes in two forms, really. It is sometimes considered to be intentional or unintentional. Unintentionally, we gossip and we stumble out words without first giving them thought. And those words often cause harm, or we think it doesn't cause harm. Intentionally, we gossip when we utter words without consideration of harm. We don't even think of the harm. At the core of gossiping, however, is its intention to hurt. It is not deliberate, if not, it is careless and rash. Now, if we look at verses 5 to 6, James writes here that the tongue boasts of great things. In other words, the tongue, or the words, gossiping is about promoting oneself above others. In a sort of slight-handed way, what happens here is that I'm not saying that I'm better or saying that you're worst. At the core of it is pride. At the core of it is pride. James blames the tongue, but he's not really saying the tongue, is he? The root word of the tongue is the word glossa, which literally means motivated speech, motivated language. The question is then, what or who is at the heart of our speech, the motivation of our speech? Is it ourselves or is it God? So destructive is speech that when its motive is rooted in oneself, James says it is a fire that sets a forest ablaze in verse 5. And its ultimate source, its origin, is hell. Gossiping, he says, stains the whole body, the entire church. It blemishes our witnesses to others. It blemishes our witness to a world that thrives on the practice of themselves setting this world ablaze with their own tongues. Jesus says in Matthew 12, I tell you, one day, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. When I consider this sin, respectable as it may be, who can stand up and say I am without guilt? I can't. Verse 2 says, we all stumble, and no one, not even one of us, is perfect. You see, gossiping is less about what and more about why. Gossiping is the motive to dishonor others through our speech. Where does this gossiping come from? Well, we heard earlier it's from hell. But let's make more clearly what that it really means. It really stems from a disobedient heart. When we gossip, we take control of our own hearts and ultimately our own speech. When we gossip, we say to God, we give you our hearts, but let me have it back. I want to have control of it. The Holy Spirit now resides in the heart of the believer. Is no longer in control of our thoughts, our lives, our actions. And so our motives are self-serving and our actions disobedient and yes, sinful. Verses 3 to 4. We put bits in the mouth of horses so they will obey the rider. The ship is steered by a small rudder at the will of the pilot, the captain. Verse 5. And the tongue is controlled by our own will to satisfy our own egos, rebellion in our hearts to the will of God. You see, the horse is driven by a force within, the ship by a force outside, and each can be driven by something small. We can therefore have victory over both types of problem and temptation if the force in our lives is the power of the Holy Spirit. And only when our hearts or will is in subjection to the power within are we able to do what's right. The New Testament word for gossip translates to mean one who whispers. And in the Old Testament, the motives and actions of a whisperer can be described in Proverbs 26. And this is what it says. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down in the inner parts of the body. Delicious. I agree with one commentator who says, the person who speaks words and whispers has eaten these words with relish. And now the person who is listening and the person who is hearing is eating those words with relish too. I guess we can all identify how that feels, how that looks. Gossiping stems from a disobedient heart. What does gossiping do? What's the effect of gossiping? I call gossiping, as James described it here, poison. It is poison. The Bible speaks of the fruits of the Spirit when it describes a product of us living a life in Christ. In Galatians 5, we recognize 9 fruits that a believer should produce. We got love, we got joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I believe it is astonishing to note that gossiping poisons every single one of these fruits. Gossiping poisons love. Because in the words of 1 Corinthians 13, it is then like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And he said, if it's like that, then there is no love. It's poisoned. Paul goes on to describe love as encompassing all the fruits outlined in Galatians 5. Gossiping contaminates our joy. Joy is the feeling of goodness experienced when our hearts desire to give God all the praise, no matter what our circumstances are, and having the full assurance that he's in control no matter what those circumstances are. That's joy. And joy is poisoned when, for example, a group leader asks for help and then belittles or criticizes that help. It is poisoned when we're quick to point out somebody's weaknesses or put down others because you think you can do a better job. Joy is poisoned when we feel vindicated to speak of the hurt of others because of what we are going through or have been through. Verse 8 says, the tongue is restless and full of deadly poison. In none of these situations is there a feeling of goodness from a heart of God's desire to give praise to him. The gossip is out of control. Poisonous. Gossiping is a poison we should never imbibe because it poisons our fruit and our witness to others. Gossiping poisons peace. When we say or repeat things that are hurtful, shameful, embarrassing to others, we create animosity and strife. It doesn't really matter whether the things said are true or not true. Again, it is the intent of the action. There is a satisfaction that comes from being one of the first people to hear some colorful piece of news about someone. We can hardly wait to get our mouths into it and digest it, to let others know about it. We heard the news and we might well be the first person who could tell somebody else about it. Gossip like that can be of 4 different types. It can be a rumor that is true and intentionally hurtful, It can be a rumor that spreads falsehood and intentionally, unintentionally hurtful. Which means in either case, you're really meaning to hurt somebody. It doesn't really matter. Then there's a situation where you may not have any intention at all to hurt someone. The intention is not to hurt, but it does nevertheless. So the rumor is true, but I meant no harm. Or it's untrue, but I meant no harm. The result of this is that it just feels so good, so delicious to be in the know, the rumor, to be able to tell someone who doesn't know yet. What we don't see or don't expect is the reaction to this malicious or idle talk. It is the cause of division and strife in our community, in our church. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, Paul says, he fears he will find the Corinthian church in disunity. And this is what he says about it. They are quarreling, angry, jealous, hostile, slandering, gossiping, conceited, and disorderly. He lists gossiping as one of the poisons in a disunited church, a church that is without peace. Can you then, my brothers and sisters, see this poison, how dangerous it is to our fellowship, to how we treat each other, to how we love each other? Proverbs 16, 28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Such wise words. You want to break up a close friendship? Just start whispering or gossiping about them. And when it gets back to them, and it usually does, then you've done it. You've achieved it. That friendship is over. They'll likely never trust you again with anything they say, and who could blame them? Proverbs 16 to 19 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that makes haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Here are seven things the Lord hates, and all these can be all contained within one: sin, gossip, a false witness who breathes out lies, a lying tongue, feet that run to make evil, like gossip, and someone who sows discord among brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, my friends, my loved ones, gossiping poisons peace. So now we know what it does. How can we tame it? What's the antidote? What's the antivenom? To tame the untamable, the ungoverned must be governed. Amen? To tame the untamable, the ungoverned must be governed. In verse 1, James warns us that the position of leadership should not be taken lightly. Not all of us, he says, are qualified to be teachers. Why? Because more is expected of teachers. In other words, the same rules are expected of all Christians, but teachers are judged with greater strictness. But notice in verse 2, James uses the expression, for we all stumble in many ways. Didn't say just the believers. We all. Andrew stumbles. John stumbles. We all stumble. Taming the gossip then must first mean that we recognize that we are susceptible to stumbling. If we fail to do so, we claim to be perfect. And so we get annoyed, and don't get annoyed, I should say, when people rigorously judge us. A perfect man is able to control his whole body. I wonder which of us can do that. We know this not to be true. We only need to read Romans 3 to remind ourselves of that. We all have chosen our own self-serving ways. And all our futile in our attempts to reach glory of God. Any hope of overcoming the poison of gossiping is knowing that we have a fondness for it. We love it. Secondly, taming the gossip in us means submission to the rightful ruler of our hearts. In verse 3, we go back there. There is a rider and a bit and a horse. There's also a captain, a ship, and a rudder. Our hearts are like the horse or the ship. The bit and the rudder is a tongue that gossips, and the rider or captain are the ones in control of the heart. If the ship or the horse isn't under control of one who is capable of guiding it, putting it in the right path, then inevitably we do more harm than good. Verse 7 to 8 reminds us that all animals can be tamed. It follows on the idea that humans are capable of controlling even wild beasts, but he can't control his own tongue. Verses 9 to 12 highlights a battle over who rules our heart. With the tongue we bless God and curse people who are made in the image of God. Out of the mouth comes fresh water and salt water. Who is in control? Nowhere in nature can you find a source that produces two things at the same time. A source that produces salty water and fresh water will be salty. You try it. Go home, mix a glass of salt water and have a fresh water and mix them together. It will be salty. If we bless others with our mouth and curse others with our mouth, then we're remembered for our curses. Gossiping. Poisoning the blessing. In verse 12, it further draws our attention to the incredulous. James says, can a fig tree bear olives? Can grapevine bear figs? Can a salty pond produce fresh water? The point here is that if the fruit is a fig, then the tree must be a fig tree. And the water is salty, then the source must be a salty source. Who is in control of our hearts? Is it me? Is it him? And if it is him, then how can we give him complete control? And if it's not him, what must I do to let him have control? Verse 13 tells us our wisdom is lacking if not shown in meekness. That is having God-pleasing thoughts of others. Verse 14 warns that if bitterness and selfish ambitions are in our hearts, bite your tongue. Bite it. That's my paraphrasing, by the way. It is a true saying that if you don't have something good to say about someone, you can all end that one, can't you? You've heard it before. Say nothing. If you don't have anything good to say about somebody, say
nothing.
Thank you. So verse 15 makes it clear what the war of our hearts is. What we say is an indication of who rules that heart. If our words cause hurt, enmity, bitterness, division, then it is not, above James says, that is, it is not from God. If our words cause hurt, enmity, bitterness, and division, it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. James makes it even clearer. Makes it even clearer in Matthew 12. He says, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. It stands to reason, therefore, my brothers and sisters, that if we are to control gossiping, if we are to control the gossip in us, we need to seek wisdom from God. If we fill our hearts with God's wisdom, God's treasure, out of our mouths will flow what? Words of life. Hallelujah. Words that build up but do not tear down. Words that encourage but don't discourage. Words that comfort but does not cause discomfort. Verse 18 ends beautifully. It ends with a harvest of righteousness. This is the aim of Christian living. To be able to go out about our daily lives pleasing God. And when our lives are pleasing to God, we bring peace in the lives of others. People who live pleasing lives to God will tame their tongues. They'll submit to Him. They'll submit their tongues to Him. There are people who will recognize that they are prone to stumble, but yet do they stumble? They will submit to the rightful rule of their hearts, and they will seek wisdom from God and desire to live in peace. Amen.